Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business. God bless you. It is a joy to be with you again today. And on yesterday's broadcast, I began some very practical teaching. And some might feel, well, you know, I don't really want to hear about that. But the Lord wants you to know about this. He wants you to hear about it. And you need to hear it, and I need to hear it. We all need to apply these basic truths to our lives if we want to please the Lord and if we want to allow God to accomplish His purposes in our lives. God is very purposeful. He's very directive. There's nothing He does by accident. He would raise up prophets in the Old Testament, and 1,000 years before the event would happen, He would declare it. Exactly. Sometimes He would actually name, like Cyrus, the king of Persia, that allowed the Jews to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. He was mentioned by name. Beloved, God is very purposeful. He is very goal-oriented. We don't think of Him that way, but He really is. He was determined before He ever created man. He knew that there would be sin, that they would rebel against Him, and He was going to have a plan in place to cover all His bases, and He did. That plan was Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Praise God. So we have an example from the Lord Himself, and also we were looking just briefly at some of the examples in Scripture. For example, Noah had a goal to build an ark. Abraham was determined to get a wife from Isaac, and he sent his servant Eleazar to his relatives to secure one for him. Joseph had a plan. He had goals. God gave him a game plan. What to do so that all the other nations, the entire Middle East was in famine. In fact, so much so that the Israelites had to come down there because they were starving. And God not only spared the Egyptians by allowing Joseph's goals and plans to be implemented, but also the whole family line of the Jews were spared, and 70 people came to Egypt. There was Moses, his goal to bring out Israel from Egypt. Joshua, he had a goal, a main life goal, to bring in the Israelites and to conquer the promised land. David wanted to defend the glory of God. When he said, he came against Goliath, he said, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And the Lord, he said, the Lord is going to give you into my hand. That's exactly what happened. He was very, very directed, had a very much of a goal. And of course, we know Jesus, it says, He steadfastly set His face toward Jerusalem. He knew the Father's will. Even though he just shrank in the garden, He said, Lord, all things are possible. You can do it some other way. He said, nonetheless, yet not my will, but Thy will be done. And then, if you want more spiritual goals, look at the Apostle Paul. Goals are wonderful things. They come out of our values. And that entire third chapter of Philippians, what was his goal in his life? And really, it was even more important than his ministry goal, which was, of course, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He knew that. That was what God sent him to do. But his life goal was to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. He declared he wanted to forget those things that were past. He wanted to reach forth to those things that were before him. And he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know what? I don't think we could find a better goal than that. Amen? Now, for some who might sort of drag their feet or even be reluctant to even hear anything on the subject of goal setting, to me, it's very closely related to faith stretching. That Some might say, well, you know, I don't really want to hear about that. As far as I'm concerned, I just go through my day. I trust God. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I'm just trusting that I'm going to let His Spirit just lead me. And you know what? There's no conflict with that. That's wonderful to trust the Lord day by day, moment by moment. The Bible is full of examples. Remember when Jesus told his two of the disciples to go into and prepare the Passover supper, the Last Supper? He said, you're going to meet a man carrying a water jar. Go follow him. Now that was, you know, so they were prepared. And that was rather unusual because mostly the women carried the water pots. So Jesus gave them specific instructions and they followed it. And of course, they were able to make those arrangements. And so allowing God to lead you through your day, but still have gold, there's no conflict in that. I mean, for example, not everybody has a schedule like I do, and I'm not saying, I mean, there are others that are just as busy as I am, but my days are full, and it seems like my projects are never ending. I have to-do lists, and my second Bible is a day planner. So I know what it is to have all kinds of to-do things, and I may have some priorities for the day, but I ask the Holy Spirit, let me know how to proceed. What are the things? Let there be a beautiful, lovely flow. And he works with me on that. He helps me. For example, I have a dear friend, and she says, so one of the things she needs to do is get the dishes washed. And at that particular moment, she may not feel like doing the dishes. So she might say, well, Lord, is there some other thing? And she goes ahead with his direction. And then they have to be done. So it's like, oh, now I'm ready to do the dishes. And there's some excitement in it. You see, it can be a wonderful partnership with the Holy Spirit because that's why the Holy Spirit is given to us. He has many, many functions. He's our guide. He's our director. He's our counselor. But he's one who comes alongside. He's our helper. He's our personal trainer. Is that not precious? You know, in today's world, everybody wants personal trainers for their exercise program. Well, I've never had one, but I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is the best personal trainer you could ever get. So, all right, if I ever get through this, I've been sharing, why don't people set goals? First of all, there's a lack of spiritual understanding, and I've taken a lot of time on that. And the second reason is fear. For many, the future seems very uncertain. Just to face the future, because the future is involved, goals are involved with the future. And that's why perhaps some reason away any positive action with cynicism. And I don't have to say, if you watch the news at all, it is mind-boggling the things that are happening today. Even 10 years ago, we would not have seen the things happen that are happening now reported on the daily night news. And I don't, you know, if you're listening, I don't have to, if you're listening to the news, that is, I don't even have to go into them. But it is grievous. It just breaks your heart, the wickedness and the violence in this country. The road rage, it's despicable, it's horrible, and it's a sign of the American soul. I'm speaking now in generalities. The people that don't have God, they're panicked. They're at the breaking point, because only God and only in serving God, only a knowledge of the Lord is going to make sense of the craziness of the times in which we live. But for Christians, we don't have to be panicked. We don't have to be fearful, because God has a plan. Prophecy is going to be fulfilled. He knows exactly what is going to happen, when it should, and we can rest in that. So we don't have to have fear about facing the future, about, you know, if you're into emails, my goodness, the thing's supposed to happen in September, the economic collapse, and all these things. You know what? God is going to be with His people, and He's always spared His remnant no matter what they faced. Hallelujah. So sometimes there's fear in facing the future, and of course, something we can all relate to, there's a fear of failure, because when you did your very best and you got all excited and you were going to set a goal, perhaps it was to lose some weight or to develop an exercise program or to get something organized around your house or to spend more time with the Lord, to whatever it might be, you've haven't achieved it and you've felt discouraged and depressed, you looked at the goals, the past goals, or the times you desired something, and beloved, everyone has failed. Join the club. Look at the story of great inventors. Look at Edison. How many times did he fail making the electric light bulb? I mean, he failed repeatedly, but finally, he succeeded. And he had a goal. He was determined, and he didn't let failure, he didn't let discouragement, he did not let anything rob him of that, of achieving that goal. But you know what we do? We sometimes, things get hard and it's, oh, you don't want to really exercise. You'd make 15 minutes a day or half an hour. It's like, oh, I don't want to do it today. And we make excuses and we allow the enemy to discourage us, to just take the inspiration, the determination. He works on our willpower. So we just throw our hands and give up and we don't want to hear about anything about goals. And so there's fear because of what we've experienced in the past. And then sometimes we can be lazy or apathetic. There are some folks that simply don't want to. It's too much effort to look at one's life and make decisions. And that sometimes is the case for some folks. They just, and I, now there are those who are physically or mentally compromised in some way. I'm not talking about people like that. I'm talking about those that are sound of mind, sound of body to some degree, even disabled people. They can live wonderfully fruitful lives. It's all in our attitude. And I wish I had time. I was going to pray, Lord, adjust our attitudes. We need the mind of Christ, beloved. That's what Scripture tells us. Well, as you can see, I'm enjoying this. I hope you are and are going to glean some important things. So stay with me. We're going to carry on tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, if you're having problems in this area, or you really need the Lord's help to crystallize your goals, please, I encourage you to write. And I haven't shared testimonies in so long. I need to do that at some point. But I keep filing them. But people are so blessed by the ministry of correspondence. Anyway, my time is gone. I must say I love you. Goodbye for now. And until next time, until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,